Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
As always, privilege to be with you and a chance to be up in front with you on a Sunday morning. The passage we're diving into was read earlier, Acts chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago or so, Pastor Andrew and I, it's actually been a month or so, we were praying about what was going to be the next series, and he kind of settled on Acts, and he said, and I'm going week two of the series, Acts chapter 2. And I scratched my head, and I said, let me look at it. I looked at Acts chapter 2, 47 verses. Three or four sermons in those 47 verses, and he goes, you've got Acts chapter 2 in one sermon. So hold on tight. For us to get done by dinner time, we got to go fast. That's all I know. No, but we'll be done. You won't get hungry. You won't go hungry. You'll have time to eat and lunch and won't miss out on too much. But we are going to move kind of quick to cover 47 verses. Alicia read that to us earlier, and if you listen to it, it's really some amazing stuff in Acts chapter 2. Everything from Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit coming to live within believers, to Peter's sermon where there was thousands that got saved, to the celebration of the church at the end. They covered a whole lot of ground that we got about 30 minutes to cover this morning. But being a youth pastor, I like to get creative sometimes, and I like to use media and social media and stuff to kind of show and all. Well, I did some searching, and I come up with the idea of the perfect church. Acts is about the church, the perfect church. I got a video I want you to watch of the perfect church. The perfect church. Lori, can you help her? I got a video for the perfect church. Is there a problem? What's the problem? There's no video. Oh, man. You know what? I couldn't find a video of the perfect church. You know why? It don't exist. If it does, if you and I join it, it's no longer perfect. Let's be honest. I searched and searched. I couldn't find a video of the perfect church. Now, I will say this. We got a pretty close one here. But it's because of Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it be kind of wonderful to be a part of the perfect church? Just visualize this with me. Where everyone was always kind, considerate, loving. Everyone always agreed on everything, even the color carpet when you're building a new sanctuary or something like that. Where the preaching was fantastic always, and it is, but his pitch level was always perfect. His sermons were never too complicated and not too simplistic either. Where the applications of the teachings was always challenging, but let's be honest, not too challenging. Where the music was exactly right every Sunday. Not too modern, not too old, not too fast, not too slow, not too loud, and not too soft. The seats were just right. They were perfect comfort. The lighting was always spot on. The temperature was perfect, not too hot, not too cold. Of course, finding that is very difficult to do because why? It don't exist. It's ridiculous to even think that we can find it because there's no such thing as the perfect church. Don't bother looking for one because if you find it, you're like me. If you join it, it will no longer be perfect. What it boils down to is that there's no perfect church because every church is made up of imperfect people. Every church is made up of imperfect people. The church, though, the church, the capital the church, is perfect. Because the church belongs to God, and He has fully equipped the church for a job. The church is God's perfect place for imperfect people to spend their life. What it comes down to, though, with us and our churches, and we're going to look at the purpose, the authority of the church. We're going to be looking at the purpose of the church, and we're going to look at the celebration of the church here in a minute. But here's what it comes down to. We have these options when you're at a church. You neglect the church, which means you don't see it as that valuable. You don't make it a priority. You just kind of show up when there's nothing else going on to take your time. Or we call you the hopping church member. Never really happy. You go around finding different churches from one to another that kind of feels good for a moment, but it gets old, so I'm going to go find another church. Kind of swapping of the sheep, you know. Or you got the spectate. You attend, but you never commit to the church. Or you're a belonger. You find the imperfect church, and upon realization that you're not perfect as well, you jump in wholeheartedly, you commit your time, your service, your money, your prayers, and you never look back serving God with that church. The church is not a place you go, but the church is a people with whom you belong. So it's not about us going to church, but about us being the church, and not being the church in these walls, but being the church outside of these walls. Think of it this way. We should be a church with no walls. So we read chapter 2 of Acts, and there's a lot there. And first thing we want to dive into with Acts chapter 2 is how can the church be the church? Well, we've got the authority to be the church. God has given us the authority. The first thing we want to look at is the authority of the church. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 13. The authority of the church. What gives us the right to be the church? Well, the first thing, if you look at the first verse, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. You know what that says? All God's people that was part of their church was together in harmony, singing together, praying together, loving together to accomplish one goal. That's to make Jesus famous. The church was in agreement. When we're in agreement, God can do amazing things. What should we be in agreement about? Not the things that don't matter. We should be in agreement about our call to the gospel. Living the gospel, sharing the gospel everywhere we go. Not just when they come within the walls, but when the walls are down outside. You know what? Whatever your job is, whatever you do, whether you're retired, whether you're working, you're a school teacher, you're a nurse, whatever it may be, God has you there for a purpose. There's people that crosses your path every single day, and it's not by accident. But how many times do we let them cross our path and move on and never take that opportunity to impact our life with the love of God? We're to be the church in agreement, not just here, but outside of these walls. That gives us the authority from God in agreement to move forward. But here's the biggie. We see in this first passage, the greatest authority we have is the church as the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. This kind of blows my mind. Think about this picture that was read a minute ago. You've got all these folks that are together from different countries, different groups, they all spoke different. And they were all kind of together in their little groups, and they're like, what's going on? How do we figure this out? And the Holy Spirit come upon the church, and here's what happened. It gave them the power to speak into the lives of everybody that was there. When the Holy Spirit came upon, picture this. I imagine Peter was just like out of his mind, not understanding what has just happened. He is preaching. Peter's got a message to preach. And he's probably questioning, how am I going to preach? That group's not going to understand what I'm saying because they don't speak like I do. That group don't understand. That group. But he started preaching because of the power of the Holy Spirit. People were there speaking what Peter was saying to them in their own language. Everybody there heard the gospel because God provided a way for his message to be spread through the church. Just think about that a minute. Everybody there heard the gospel in their own language because God was doing incredible things through the church. They had the power of the Holy Spirit to work through the church. We have that same power today. Whether it's through music and worship or it's within preaching and teaching of the Word in Sunday school, we have the same power within us that can reach out and change lives that come into our path with the gospel. But you know what? It don't stop within these walls. It's got to go outside of these walls. Again, picture a church with no walls reaching out. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus throughout John. John chapter 14, John chapter 15 says that Jesus promised us that we as a church and we as believers would have the power of the Holy Spirit living with us. Acts chapter 1 said that we would see God's power manifested in us and in the lives of the church when the Holy Spirit come. And then we see the Holy Spirit come in chapter 2. The role of the Holy Spirit is this, is to prepare us for the gospel, then prepare us to spread the gospel. And you can see that all within this one chapter. The Holy Spirit was preparing the people there for the gospel. And then later you'll see that it prepared them to spread the gospel a little bit later. God has called us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a daily pursuit, a daily commitment that every one of us must have. We must every single day get up and say, God, make me right in your sight so that you can do incredible things through me as I walk my normal life through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a daily decision and choice we must make to be right before God to be used. So the authority of the church we have comes from our agreement in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the authority of God to be the church. Not the perfect church, but the church reaching imperfect people with the perfect gospel. That's what we have the authority to do. Now, we're going to move a little bit forward and we can see the purpose of the church. You can see that through verses 14 through 41. There's a lot of things going on. But one of the things I want you to see, verse 16, it says this. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. What does that mean? They were centered and focused on the Word of God. The Word of God was the very foundation and centerpiece of the church. Our purpose of the church is to be centered on God's Word. We're to be built on God's Word. There are some hard things in this. There are some easy things we go, oh, I can do that. That's pretty easy. But let's be honest, there are some things in there that are very hard to apply to our life and live out daily. But the cool thing is this. The power of the Holy Spirit within us gives us that ability to do that, and we have to make that choice. So, the purpose of the church is to be centered on God's Word, just as Peter was addressing them based upon the center of God's Word that they had at that time and place. They were very focused. Then the next purpose of the church is a church that adores Jesus Christ. They worship Jesus Christ. Everything that they do is about their love for Jesus Christ. Jesus and His mercy and His grace is to be exalted at all times. Because let's be honest, we don't deserve either one of those, His mercy or His grace. Because we, as humans, willfully do things that displeases God, and that's called sin. We're not perfect, but because of God's mercy and grace, we can still be His church and His people within the church. His mercy and grace. I like to use this. Years ago, it was described to me, God's mercy and grace is this way. I'm going to use this illustration, but understand, I don't like chocolate. I know, it's a bad thing. I don't like chocolate. Now, I could substitute chocolate for a hot pecan pie with ice cream on top. That may work. But I'm going to use chocolate because so many people like chocolate, especially my wife. So she said, I got to use chocolate as illustration. Mercy and grace, picture the most amazing chocolate cake. Picture you as a child growing up. Mom has been in the house all day long. You've been outside playing. Mom's been in the house. First off, she spent the morning making the house spotless, cleaning everything up, doing the floors, wiping everything down so the house is spotless. She gets that done, so she goes in there and she cooks the most amazing chocolate cake, the kind that when you see, your mouth starts watering just a little bit. Well, you've been outside. You've gotten quite dirty. Might have found a mud hole or two. You know, I don't know if you'd like me. If there was a mud hole, I was going to find it, and I was going to jump in it a few times, and, you know. So I was been out playing. I come in, and Mom looks at me and says, wipe your feet, clean your feet, don't mess up the house. I've spent all morning cleaning it. Been there, y'all? Yeah, you heard that when you were growing up. Yeah. But I don't pay attention to it. I'm going, oh, Mom, it's okay. And I go running through, and there's footprints through everything, through the foyer, through the carpet, all the way through. And all of a sudden, I hear yelling, Robert Jenkins? When I heard Robert Jenkins, I knew I was in trouble. With just Robbie, it was all cool. When I heard Robert Jenkins, I go, oh, no, I've done messed up now. And she sees my mess, and I can see that she's upset with me because she spent all morning. She told me not to mess it up. I had totally messed up everything she'd done. She calls me in there, and I go in there, and there's this cake sitting on the counter. She looks at me and goes, you messed up my floor, and I told you not to. I've spent all morning. Now we got to hire a carpet cleaner to come in and clean up the carpet. You totally messed it up. And I'm thinking, man, I'm fixing to be punished. Timeout's not even good enough. I'm probably going to be banned to my room for a month. All kind of things. And I'm preparing myself for the punishment. She goes, but you know what? I love you. I made this cake. Have a piece of cake. Sit here and enjoy it with me. You see, I messed up everything Mom had done. I deserved to be sent to the room for punishment. I deserved every bit of it. But instead, she gives me what the best she had made that morning. You see, mercy was not getting the punishment I should have gotten by being sent to my room by disobeying. I got mercy. But I got grace because she just gave me something I totally did not deserve at all. She gave me a piece of that fresh, hot cake. You see, God offers that to us. When we sin against God, we deserve His punishment. We deserve to be sent to the room for time out. We deserve to have eternal separation from God. But He don't give that to us when we sin against Him. That's mercy. And when He says, I want to adopt you into my family now and make you part of my family, that's grace. Because I didn't deserve it. We make much about Jesus. We adore Jesus because of Him we can experience God's mercy and grace. We celebrate the salvation that we have in Christ. We worship wholeheartedly. We pursue Christ's likeness. And we share the gospel with passion. That's how we adore Jesus. And then third, the purpose of the church is a church with an unapologetic appeal for the lost. That's why we exist. Yes, we exist to motivate ourselves to worship God, to get fired up. But if we're not reaching the lost, we're missing the great commission that God gave us as a church. We're totally missing it. We're to share the gospel. If you look at verse 32, it says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And therefore, exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Sharing of the gospel. God raised Him from the dead to give us a hope so that we have the right to share the gospel. Share the gospel and the hope we have in Christ. Our goal should be that everyone that we have even the remote possibility of reaching hears the gospel, so that, as they said in verse 21, they might be saved. They may be adopted into God's kingdom, so that they can be moved from death to life, from burying an old life to being raised in a new life, adopted into God's family. I like to say this: transformed from an amazing creation of God into a child of God. That is the picture of salvation. The greatest test of the church is its obedience to God's word. The greatest test of the church is it being unified in the sharing of the gospel and moving outside of its walls, not living within the walls. So the first thing of a church without walls, we have the authority to be God's church. Secondly, we have a purpose. Third, there's a benefit for being part of God's church. And we can see that in verses 42 through 47. The benefit of the church. First off, the church is accepting and appealing to all people. If we read that passage, it says that they were devoted to themselves, the teaching and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe become upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions. In other words, they were doing ministry, and day by day attending the temple, worshiping together, praising God, having favor with all people. They didn't have qualifications upon who could be part of the church, other than all people. They had favor with all people. The haves and the have-nots, those that lived on the right side of the train tracks, those that lived on the wrong side of the train track, they had favor with all people. They were accepting and appealing. The people of the church are to be devoted to each other, not just in faithfulness, but in their excitement of what God can do through us. A benefit of the church is their accepting and loving, and they're excited. We can show up, we show up at church one of two attitudes. You ready for this? We got to show up, or we get to show up. One of two. That's how we show up. It's a privilege to be a part of God's church, to be used by God to make a difference in the lives of people. And then another benefit of the church is regularly growing. If you look at the end of it, it said God was adding to their midst every day. If we let the gospel transform us, and then we take that and share it to transform others, you know what? God will add. There's something in 30 years of student ministry, there's something that I am convinced of more today than ever before. Whether it's teenagers or adults, everybody wants to be wanted. Everybody wants to be belonged, to belong to something. Everybody does. You don't go and hang out at a place or with people that don't want you there. Everybody wants to be accepted and wanted. God's church is to be that place because of His great love for us, in the hope we have through Jesus Christ and the gospel. God adds to His church through multiplication. Think about it. Multiplying the Bible in the hearts of His people that then multiply out sharing the gospel. And then those that receive the gospel, we love them, we disciple them, and the same thing repeats itself. This is done by being faithful to the church, being of one purpose as the church, being the gospel, and then being fellowshipping with each other inside and out. Know what that means? We like each other. Fellowshipping in the church, breaking the bread in church, that means we like each other. We're just not here with the main purpose. Yeah, we're here to worship and share the gospel. But you know what? We're here because we love each other. We want to grow together in Christ. We want to impact our community together in Christ. I want to conclude with this poem. I don't know who wrote this poem. No idea. It's an author unknown. The perfect church. I think that I shall never see the perfect church. A church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always serve, and none is proud and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and to each other's faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. So I will work and pray and plan to make my church the best it can be. Here's a big idea. I always do this with our youth. Big idea. If you don't remember anything we talked about, remember this. Take this home. Remember, the church can only be the church when its people are the church outside of the walls. The church can only be the church when its people are the church outside of the walls. So as we close, our heart and our soul is for everyone to know Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Him, our plea is that you do. That you move from death to life, that you're adopted into His family. You see, we're all created to walk with God in harmony, like Adam and Eve in the garden. But like Adam and Eve blew it, we mess up. We disappoint God. We do things that's called sin, that separates us from where we should be. And we do a lot of things to try to fix that. That brings heartache and pain many times. But you know what? God provided us a way to be back, united with Him, restored back to Him in Jesus Christ on a cross. By believing and accepting His forgiveness and giving our heart to Him, God restores us back in relationship with Him. He adopts us into His family. My goal, our goal is this. Everyone hears that. Everyone accepts that. If you've not done that today, this morning when we get ready to sing, when we start singing, I ask you to come forward. If you have some questions, we'll pray. I'll share with you. We'll pray for you. But then for all those here that have given your heart to Jesus Christ, you have accepted His forgiveness, you've been restored back to Him, remember that the church can only be the church if you're being the church. Inside the walls and outside of the walls. We must ask our question, am I doing my part in God's purpose of this church? So as we pray and close this morning, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I'll encourage you to come forward in as we sing, and I'd love to share and talk with you about that. All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful, we're thankful for Your love for us. We thank You, Father, that You have seen fit to call us to be Your church, Father, that we do get to come together with people that we love, and Father, people that we're walking this journey of life together as believers. We're thankful that we can come together, Father, and worship You, and we can dive into Your Word together. But Father, we also can change Cairo and Grady County through Your power, through us as Your church. And I just pray, Father, that each one of us will look in our lives and see that first and foremost that we are one of Your children. And Father, if we are we doing our part on making Your church the church that changes lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.